Rock Central Monday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Kintech Studio, Kintech Footwear, and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canuck Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. There will not be any Canucks games for the foreseeable future. Basically a couple of weeks.
Yeah, the Canucks play again on the 22nd, I believe, right? So 12 days away.
Yeah, less than 2 weeks. Not like a week and a half, but less than 2 weeks. It's kind of like a week and three quarters,
yeah,
I guess you would say, until the next Canucks game. Hopefully all will be healthy and ready to go, given the way that they've gone into the break. And we are post-Super Bowl, I got to say. Maybe not the best game. Didn't turn out to be the best game. Like 40-22 was kind of it was flattering on the Chiefs that the score was only in the end an 18-point deficit.
Yeah,
the Kansas City Chiefs.
I kept waiting for the game to get interesting, and it just never happened.
You're like, come on, refs, do something.
I was like, even the refs have abandoned the Chiefs.
Yeah, they gave them the one easy call early in the game, and then it was like, well, we can't keep helping you guys.
No, I mean, it was, you know what, like it wasn't unexpected in the sense of, like, we talked about how, like, it was either going to be a blowout for the Eagles or like the Chiefs like win a close game, and that's exactly what happened.
Kind of felt like it was coming a little bit for the Chiefs, but the way they've like skirted losses all season long. But now we'll have all the legacy conversations about Patrick Mahomes, though Tom Brady's still working at it as a broadcaster. Okay, let's get to it. It's the Open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
The Open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest is the Canucks away for a little while, but they go into this little break feeling, I guess, the best vibes of the season to this point, given everything that has happened during the course of this campaign. Without their captain Quinn Hughes over the last four games, they go 3-0-1. Quinn Hughes confirming that he will not go to the Four Nations face-off to play for Team USA, and he'll get ready to get in on the final push for the season with the Vancouver Canucks once the season resumes, which is disappointing for him. But given the Canucks finding a little bit of a groove, playing well in his absence, you get Hughes back after the break, probably a lot healthier than he is today. That's only going to be a good thing for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, I mean, I think for Quinn, and the most obvious statement for the Canucks was for him to stay home and not go to the Four Nations. But we know he really wanted to go. And I think the most important thing for Vancouver was to give Quinn space to make the right call.
Yeah.
Not encourage him one way or another, because not to say that the organization is his at this stage, but it pretty much is. Like, he's about as close to any player in the league to having like free access to everything with the team, right? Like, you make a call, we'll do whatever you want to do, more or less, within reason. I mean, as long as the player is not using that type of power whimsically, right? But Quinn hasn't been that type of guy. So I think what they wanted to do was for him not to go, but also not push him not to go.
Yeah.
And this was the best case scenario where he made the call himself. And I think they're relieved, would be my guess on the situation, because now he's going to have, what, at least 10 days off ice if he chooses.
Yeah. I mean, in total, it'll be over 3 weeks since he last played a game.
That's huge. I think if you get a 3-week break and all you miss is four NHL games, like, you'll take that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that should set him up really well for the stretch drive.
It's it is good news for the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, if you're a hockey fan, you would have loved to see the best defenseman on planet Earth play at the Four Nations, of course. But, you know, if it was an Olympics, would it be a different story? All those questions are up in the air. We'll see where it goes. But at the end of the day, this is a good thing for the Canucks. As they go 3-0-1 without Hughes, and they go into the break, I mean, really good, right? 6-1-1 going into the break.
Well,
this stretch has been really impressive.
They picked up 7 out of a possible 8 points, 13 out of a possible 16 points in their last 8 games, which is huge for a team that's trying to really be a playoff team again, right? And we went through a stage before they went on this somewhat of a run, right? Like, to me, it's not even a big run yet. Like, what I want to see is them...
It's a solid run.
You want to see them get through close to a 20-game stretch where they're winning a vast majority of games. Like, can you go 16-3-1 or something? Like, that's what I'm looking at. Like, because that's what the best teams do. That's what good teams do, or even teams that are solid playoff teams. They have a 20-game segment where they're lights out.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that from the Canucks. And the best time to do that is the stretch drive to the end of the season. We're into the final third of the campaign. And I think any outcome you want to build that's a positive for Vancouver, that has them making the playoffs or perhaps even finishing higher than just being a wild card team, it all comes back to Quinn Hughes being at his best, right? And as much as they've gone 3-0-1, and a lot of it is sustainable from a team play aspect because they have stabilized things with having Marcus Pedersen on the back end, but... Do we get a better indication of what the ceiling of the team is, having a healthy Quinn Hughes for the stretch drive with a revamped roster?
This is probably the most impressive thing about the 3-0-1 that they had going after without Quinn Hughes in the lineup. And I say 3-0-1 without Quinn Hughes in the lineup, and also since the Miller-Pedersen trades, because really, you know, Hedl, O'Connor, Pedersen, like these guys, they didn't play. They played in these 4 games. So it was like a big shift for the team, right? You get a bunch of new faces, a new vibe around the team. A lot has changed, but it's without your captain. But as you sort of mentioned there, it's looked pretty good on the sustainability meter, if that really is a thing. It's looked better than maybe it has at any point this season. I know it's a short sample, small sample of games, just 4, but they're out shooting teams, right? You know, that's not something they've done a lot of this year. They're out chancing teams.
Yeah.
At 5-on-5, they've only got 4 goals for, 3 against. But how much of that is a rather low shooting percentage, which is sometimes abnormal for this team, right? They're at 4.5 shooting percentage at 5-on-5 during this 4-game stretch, when usually this team has been amongst the highest in the league for where their shooting percentage is. So there's a lot here that, okay, you parachute Quinn Hughes into this lineup. All of these, if these things can continue with Hughes back, you know, you're looking at a team that is a lot more promising than the one we've seen through the first 50 some odd games of the season.
Without a doubt, right? And right now they're on pace for 94 points. And that would, you know, based on point projections, get them into the playoffs ahead of the Calgary Flames, who are on pace for, like, I think 92 or something, or something along those lines that they're on pace for. So on pace, fine. But can they finish with in the high 90s? Can they somehow get to 100 points on the season by the time it's over?
Well, there's your, like, you know, really strong stretch of games that you're talking about, because it's going to take quite a bit to get to 100 points.
Yeah, I mean, so they have 27 games remaining.
Yeah.
Exactly a third of the season remains. For them to get to 100 points, they would have to play 685 hockey. That's going 18-8-1. And so right now we talk about how they have a shot at, you know, catching the LA Kings for third in the division.
Yeah.
Well, you don't finish third in the division without getting close to 100 points, I don't think.
No.
Right? Is that in the cards? Can they do? I mean, that's 685. That would mean with their current stretch now, that would be a 21-8-2 run.
Yeah.
21-8-2, which would be almost 700 hockey.
At that point, you're going in the playoffs, and people are like, have you seen the way Vancouver is going into the playoffs right now?
But just to illuminate,
they're the hottest team in hockey.
Yeah. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but for all the talk about third in the Pacific, that's the type of run they would have to go on. I know, like, you look at the standings, you're like, well, they're just behind them, only a couple points back, but they have a couple games in hand. But based on point percentage, that's what you have to do. So we can sit here and talk about how they can catch LA, but I think you also have to really make sure that what catching LA means. Because catching LA, you probably have to get to 99-100 points, and that means picking up at least 36 to 37 of the next 54 points.
LA finished third in the Pacific last year on 99 points.
There you go.
Basically, every division in hockey had a bar of 99 points or higher outside of the Metropolitan, where 94 points was the bar to be a top three team in the division. Now, hey, you're probably going to debate at 650, do they even want to get third in the Pacific? Like, who wants to line up against Edmonton in the first? Whatever. We're not having that debate right now. It's more just about where can the Canucks get to if they really find their form coming out of this break.
Yeah, and I mean, I really don't think they're finishing second in the division is in the cards. I mean, the type of run they would have to go on would be like 21-6-1 or something, 21-5-1.
Yeah.
You're probably not doing that.
No.
You know what I mean? So it's like, where do they most likely land? It's still probably likely they kind of land in that wild card spot. Is it wild card one? Do they catch Colorado potentially? Do they finish wild card two and face most likely Winnipeg in the first round of the playoffs?
You best have to team get in the there. League, Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, so it's not going to be easy either way. Now, I think we can save the matchup discussions for later because it is way too early to have those discussions. Because I see people texting in and saying stuff like, well, you probably have a better chance going through the Central anyways. I'm not ready to have that discussion. Let's see what the teams look like after the trade deadline.
Let's see what they can build on here.
Yeah, but if they are going to go on that type of run, right, where they get to maybe 100 points or high 90s, that means Quinn Hughes has to step in, play at a high level. Pettersson continue to play the way he played in the one game, and maybe we get to that at some point. It's one game, right? It's like, and how often have we talked about one game from Pettersson here?
Maybe he just pretends that he's playing the Leafs every time.
Maybe that's all it takes.
Just pretend like the other guys have blue and white on their sweaters, you know?
Maybe it's a Leaf thing, though, and like he'll play well against Canada and the Four Nations, but no other team.
Like, Tockett's just going to go to him. It's like Tuesday night against, I don't know, whatever team. And so, Petey, it's Saturday night, hockey night in Canada, main event. You're playing the Leafs, okay? That's what's going on tonight.
Yes.
So
every other player is Austin Matthews,
and that's it.
And now you'll get the best version of Petey. So as we talk about that, like, there's the two elephants in the room that Rick Tocchet is trying to, consume.
Consume the elephant.
And that is, one, obviously Elias Pettersson, which we've spent a lot of time discussing. Two, how worried should we be about Thatcher Demko? Because,
oh, you're concerned?
It seems like every time he plays three games in a row, he gets hurt.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the good news is,
and I know it's not actually that, but
that's what it feels like.
It kind of feels like that.
I get that's what it feels like. The good news, I suppose, is that it's not the knee.
Yeah.
And it's not considered
serious.
Mm-hmm. And how much of this is just kind of the growing pains of him regaining his form, regaining the stamina, and, you know, his body going through the rigors of playing more hockey. And how much of it is this guy's broken down?
Yeah.
And I think that's the fear all Canucks fans have, is this guy going to break down? And we'll find out as soon as the break ends where the Canucks find themselves with the goaltending and whether that is a concern or not. But everything I've heard and asking around about it afterwards is that they don't believe it is serious.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see where it's at. But, you know,
so it's not high on the worryometer for you right now.
Not right now. That can always change. And, you know, and I know there are a lot of cynics, rightfully so. How often have we heard the team say, this guy's fine, it's nothing, and next thing you know, it's like, gone for 6 weeks, right? Like,
they said Hronek was going to be out 8 weeks, and he came back a lot sooner than 8 weeks.
So it cuts both ways, right?
Yes.
But also, the last time they gave an update, a quick update on Demko, they were also pretty transparent, right?
Yeah.
So after the game he left where he had the collision with Juulsen, it was, and he went down hard and he was favoring his lower body when he left, there was a lot of concern that it was a knee injury. Turns out it was back spasms.
Mm-hmm.
And the team said back spasms, it's minor, we don't think it's serious, and it turned out to be true.
Yes.
So if their latest update on Demko is a good indication, then perhaps they are being truthful, right? So everything right now is he should be all right. But yeah, I mean, the ceiling of this team is so highly dependent on goaltending. Lankinen's been tremendous, and he was sensational in the 50 minutes he played after replacing Demko when he went down against the Leafs. But if this team is going to go on that type of run and not only make the playoffs and get to the playoffs being hot, if they're going to do anything in the postseason, it's going to have to be goaltending. And their best netminder when he's on top of his game is still Thatcher Demko.
He made a astounding 64 of a possible 65 saves in his last three games, including the six that he made against Toronto before leaving that game. He looked like he was just getting into form. And that's kind of what happened to a little bit earlier when he had to leave that Seattle game. So it's a tough spot that the Canucks find themselves in, not just for the here and now. You know, it's probably a good thing Demko's got a couple of weeks to get this all sorted out, but how does it change the way you plan for the future around your goaltending? I mean, you have the Lankinen situation. You have Demko, who is as good a goalie as there is in the league when he's playing and he's in rhythm, but we just haven't seen that quite enough. So he's going into the final year of his current contract next year. Is that something you want to lock into? Do you want to try and move on and get an asset before he becomes something you lose for nothing? I think, you know, there's just more questions than answers with the future of Thatcher Demko, given how this situation continues to play out and the constant having to leave the lineup since he's come back from an 8-month long injury that is unprecedented in the world of hockey.
All this stuff is going to go into the information chamber that's going to spit out the determination about whether keeping Demko makes sense or not, right?
Can we ask ChatGPT?
Maybe ChatGPT can give you the answer, right? But I don't think a determination has been made yet on Thatcher Demko's long-term future. I think all these things are going to be in consideration. I do believe there is a world where the Canucks do extend Lankinen and also bring Demko back for the final year of his contract next year.
Does that involve moving Carson Soucy?
Potentially.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's where it makes it a little bit easier, because then you could do that. Like we talked about before, if you move Soucy, not only can you sign Lankinen, it gives you the space to keep Besser, plus add another forward if you want to add another one, up to about $7-8 million.
Yeah.
So it opens up a lot of possibilities for you. I can see them do that. And this is an organization now, maybe for better or for worse, that is not afraid of moving on for guys they've just extended or signed. We saw it with Kuzmenko. Right? Yep. Like we saw it with Curtis Lazar in his first year. We've seen it already with Desharnais and Heinen. We've seen it with Mikheyev. So I don't think them signing Lankinen means they're committed to him. It's more about, hey, this is a good idea now. It makes sense. Let's lock him in. And it buys you more time next year to make a determination. But I do think, to your point, especially with Demko hitting the age he's hitting, the fact that his track record has been riddled with a lot of injuries.
Yep.
Is this team going to be comfortable, no matter how he finishes this year, to give him a max extension? And not max money, but like max term. Would they go 7 years? Would they go 8 years on Demko? And would he get anywhere near what a guy like, what's the netminder from, I just blanked on his name, with Dallas?
Like Casey DeSmith?
No, the American Ottinger. Ottinger's contract, yeah. Like he was 8 by 8 almost, or whatever it was, right? I don't know if he's getting that. At least not from Vancouver, you know. Would they be willing to give him a higher salary over shorter term, potentially?
Mm.
But yeah, I mean,
do you want to do that, though?
I think it all depends.
It's hard to lock in right now because, you know, if you were to look at it and say, you know, what's more important to the Canucks right now? Is it figuring out Demko's situation or spending those dollars potentially on a player, an impact forward to add to this group? I think those are real questions you can ask, but ultimately you'd rather have Demko playing at his Vezina level for another year at $5 million, because very few teams have that advantage, have that luxury. I just, you know, it's really hard to trust the situation. You're kind of getting backed into a corner where you have to sign Lankinen or somebody of that ilk to give you a competent backup, a backup you feel comfortable with. And it puts, you know, Artur Shilov's in a really difficult situation because, bottom line is, you can't really trust a young goalie until he's done it for a significant period of time. And, you know, it just feels like he's never going to get that chance with the situation Demko's in.
Yeah. And even Shilov's like, is he good enough anyways?
Yeah.
And we don't know that yet.
No, we don't.
You know, and.
But he's never going to get the chance to prove himself if this situation persists.
But do you want to let him prove himself?
Well. Yeah.
I think that's going to be the question. Like right now, and I'm not saying Shilov isn't going to be a good goaltender, but like I really am not expecting him to be part of the equation.
Yeah.
And that's not because I've soured on him.
He's even sub 900 in the AHL.
Like, the numbers haven't been great.
No.
You know, like even if he is a National Hockey League netminder, is he a true number one netminder?
No.
I don't think you can move forward with him in mind as a succession plan right now. And that shows you how much things can change. Like last year, if you asked Canucks fans, do you feel confident that Shilovs can be part of your succession plan? The answer would have been yes. This year, probably not as much.
Yeah.
Now, Nikita Tolopilo has also shown some ups and downs. He has size, but you know, none of these guys have really been lights out so far. Ty Young, the young netminder, has shown some promise, but like, how many years away are these guys? Yeah. Are any of them going to be his number one netminder? I don't think you can operate as if you have a succession plan in place. Like, I don't think it's wise to go into next year and be like, let's, you know, and I'm not saying don't trade Demko, but trade Demko, have Lankin as your guy, and Shilovs is ready to back up. Like, I don't think you can be confident in that being the case next year.
Probably not, especially with the way this year started. It's almost getting to the point where, like, the priority contract, maybe it's not Brock Besser with a bullet anymore. That Kevin Lankin is very much in that conversation for what is the next bit of business that is the biggest priority for the Vancouver Canucks. Into the Canucks Central Roundup we go. Speaking of what work the Canucks might get done here over the next couple of weeks, there's no roster freeze, okay? Yeah, Four Nations might be going on, and Sidney Crosby may get traded to the Vancouver Canucks while he's playing for Canada. That's not happening. I'm just making a real big, exaggerated example
right
to get your attention.
Well, you have my attention,
okay,
Reach.
Okay, do I have your attention? I have your attention.
Only my curiosity.
Do you expect the Canucks to get busy during the two-week break?
I do think, like, I do think they're trying.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they will be successful or not, I don't know. Like, like when it comes to, like, trade talks that are not part of an actual deadline,
yeah,
it's kind of impossible to give a percentage. Like, is a trade going to happen or not? Like, before the trade freeze, we talked about, like, do you take over under how many trades do the Canucks make or yeah something, right? And we talked about it. But, like, now for the Four Nations, I don't know if they'll be able to get a deal done mm-hmm over the Four Nations, but I'm pretty confident that they're going to make at least one or two deals ahead of the trade deadline.
Right.
And the question is, are they going to find the long-term solution that they want? But they are very active. Like, they feel like if they can add an impact forward that they're looking for this year, not to say that they're cup contenders, but they feel a lot better about their chances. Like, as much as they talk about the retool, mm-hmm, like, I think they want to do it as quick as possible. And they'd love, you know, and they're not going to force it. And if you don't get the guy you want, you're not going to, you know, settle for something, you know, significantly less just to make a run this year in the postseason. But I think that if these guys play well by the deadline, that they could be somewhat buyers, even on the rental market.
Yeah.
To, like we mentioned, on the periphery a little bit and on a lesser scale. So this kind of comes back to the whole, do you move Soucy out? If they yeah move Soucy, get a pick back, do you flip that pick for something that helps you in the short term? But they have a real desire to add another forward one way or another.
It's definitely one of the priorities ahead of the March 7th trade deadline. Once the Four Nations is over, there will be 2 weeks of a lead up to the trade deadline on March the 7th. Of course, you'll get a little bit more intel on what the team looks like with Quinn Hughes once you come back from the break. Maybe decide how aggressive you want to be to add to this roster for this season. Canucks returning to action February 22nd against the Vegas Golden Knights. It kicks off a six-game road trip that will start with back-to-backs that Saturday and Sunday, Vegas and Utah. They did send a couple of players down to the Abbotsford Canucks, who have a four-game homestand beginning tomorrow night against the San Diego Gulls. So if you are looking to still get in some pro hockey during these 2 weeks, mm-hmm, the Abbotsford Center will have it with the Abbotsford Canucks. DPD, Linus Karlsson, Nils Åman all sent to the Abbotsford Canucks for the time being. As for the Four Nations face-off, it starts Wednesday, Canada against Sweden. Yes, Elias Pettersson is now the only skater for the Vancouver Canucks at the tournament. The only other Vancouver Canuck is Kevin Lankinen, Finnish goaltender. But Elias Pettersson, the lone skater, he was on a line today with Adrian Kempe and Philip Forsberg. So we'll see if Kempe and Pettersson match up against the Miller Brady Tkachuk line coming up in that game against the U.S. next week.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting, right? And I think Kempe is a guy that has gotten into it with JT before too, has a little bit of bronze, so that could be a lot of fun. I mean, I'm sure they'll be on the ice together at the same time. I don't know how much of a game plan there's going to be to match up the two guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are the chances that something happens between them, I'd still say fairly low. Like, for all the talk about it, like, they might not even, like, look at each other once. Yes.
We're done with this. We've moved on. And that's the end of that story. All right. So we'll see what happens there. But yes, Elias Pettersson, the lone skater representing the Canucks of the Four Nations, face off with Quinn Hughes out of the picture, and JT Miller traded in the last couple of weeks. Sidney Crosby practiced with Team Canada today. He expects to play Wednesday against Sweden. We can dissect what the lines and the power play and all that looked like with Team Canada over the next couple of days here on Canucks Central, and we get ramped up for some best on best international hockey for the next couple of weeks. But next, we're going to get into Don Taylor, Donnie and Dolly, our Monday regular, joining us for his weekly check-in, his take on how the Canucks are faring and what he expects to see from the Four Nations face-off. Denny's True North Taste awaits with Denny's 100% Canadian beef burgers made with new shredded iceberg lettuce on a brioche bun and all the classic ingredients you love. Don Taylor next on Canucks Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.